All right, so we're continuing in Acts. As I said, I've been away for a couple of weeks, so I've missed the last few weeks you guys have been doing. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different and something that a little bit cliche and that you might have seen other ways. But we're going to look at tonight what Jesus can do for you, all right? Sometimes you might feel a bit selfish in asking, but you wonder, what's in it for me, all this Jesus stuff? I've heard a fair bit, and all seems judgment, judgment, judgment. You know, believe this or you're going to hell. And look, that's all true. I'm not going to say that's not. But we're going to look at things from a different angle today, just to fit in perspective with everything else that you've been hearing, to just give a different side of the coin, if you will, a different aspect that fits in with everything else. All right, so I don't want to minimize what you've heard so far, because that's a very important part of what it means to have a relationship with God, but I want to show a way, look at this passage tonight where a different aspect is looked at of salvation and an opportunity to have a relationship with God. So we're going to start reading from Acts chapter 3. So we're going to read through a part and then we'll talk about it. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who was begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So we see here another healing. If you've been here with us a while, you'll have heard quite a few of these things right through the book of John, and not so many in the start of Acts yet. This one is a unique one at this stage, because it's one of the first from someone other than Jesus himself. All right. So Jesus fairly recently risen from the dead, and his disciples are out and about telling everyone about it. Now, if you'd seen what they've seen, if you'd seen the difference that Jesus had made in people's lives, I'm sure that you'd be doing the same. And to make it clear, I guess that's what we're doing here, by the way. We've seen the massive difference that Jesus has made in our lives, reconciling us with our Creator. We can't help but tell everyone. We certainly don't want to force anyone, in the same way that you don't force a friend to see a great movie that you enjoyed. You certainly tell them about that movie, however, and highly recommend they go see it. Now, if you'll do that for a movie you enjoyed, how much more when you find a way for eternal life and a way to be rid of the pain of this world? So let's keep reading. And as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him, the man who is lame, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all, or has fully recovered him." Apologies, I got quite sick when I was overseas, so I've still got a cough that I'm coming over. So you see here, Peter is very quick to point everything back to Jesus here. All right, he doesn't want anybody worshipping him. You'll notice It's interesting how quick they were to follow anything. Oh, a miracle. And the people, says the people ran to them in the porch. Quick, look, another miracle. And they're running around. You know, let's go look what happened. I think this is not dissimilar to today. People love experiences. Knowledge is nowhere near as fun as experience. We chase after experience, after feeling things and you know, things that make a difference in the feelings in our lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with experience, but the interesting thing is that often people don't know what to do with it. So experience without knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. Many times throughout history, there's been plenty of occasions where people have experienced things that they didn't understand or whatever. And in turn, either... Thank you. And in turn, they've either worshipped created things, you know, instead of a god. They said, ah, this must be the god of gold, or this must be a calf, or something like that. Well, they've come up with all sorts of wacky explanations. So Peter sets out to help the people understand their experience. He says, all right, you know, this is the miracle you've seen. I'm going to make sense of it, tell you by what power this is done, how it's done, before you go about saying, ah, Peter must be a miracle worker, or there must be something about this portion of land that the person was sitting on, or all this sort of stuff. When they jump to these conclusions, he says, no, let me explain it to you. Let me make sense of this miracle and how it happened. So he starts by making it quite clear that this miracle was not by their own power. He says, no. Straight away, this is through Jesus. All right. At this point, he wants to clarify who Jesus is. A lot of them, maybe some of them hadn't heard who he was. So he starts right from the beginning and how this relates to them. Right, he's a pretty good preacher, Peter, even though he's off the cuff. He says, all right, let's start from the beginning. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the fathers that you hold so dear, he glorified his son or his servant Jesus. All right. So you know, he starts right from where they'll understand. All right. So this is the God that you've all been worshipping all these years. He was the one that glorified the servant Jesus. You'll remember that when the man was healed, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. He didn't just say, get up. Oh, and by the way, that was Jesus that did it. He had it very clear, even in his words, that this was the power of Jesus Christ that did this. All right, Peter doesn't try to claim any of this as him. You know, you can imagine, you know, I think it'd be tempting. I know I would if I, you know, just said, be healed. And if someone got up and healed, I'd think, it's pretty good. Anyone, next healing is $500. Anyone, you know, is interested. So, but you can see right from the beginning, Peter doesn't claim any of this is him. You know, he says, this is not me. This is the power of the Lord Jesus. All right? This is the one, you know, who he lived his life around for the last few years, the last 3 years, and you know, he knew very much that this was Jesus' power, not his own. Now, he goes on there and gets a little pointy with them. Now, I don't know if this is a friendly reminder or a bit of a slamming rebuke. It's a bit hard to tell without, you know, the intonation of the passage. But he says, you know, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, you know, of which we are witnesses. You know, just a friendly reminder, this was the guy that you gave up for a murderer, Barabbas. You know, you took him instead. All right. And then he goes through and he says, that was the passage I just said, so you denied the Holy One. All right. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness or full healing in the presence of you all. So it was faith in Jesus that Peter had that cured this man. Peter again makes it abundantly clear he had nothing to do with it. This was the guy they killed, the guy that said he would rise from the dead, the guy that then proceeded to rise from the dead. It was faith in him who healed this man. Now, interesting, as we move on, this is not something we see in some of the other preaching things that you see where they say, hey, you know, this was the guy that the prophet sent and, you know, you killed and da da da. He goes on here and actually he cuts them some slack, which is very interesting. He calls them to really think. He says, look, past is what's happened. This is what he wants them to think about. He says, all right, let's move on and have a think about this. So he says, Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, all right, as did also your rulers. But, all right, so moving on, but these things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Alright, so he says, alright, so you didn't know it at the time, nor did your rulers, but now it's time to listen up, okay? Those things that you've been reading about your whole lives, you know, they're finally being fulfilled. You know, he says, an interesting thing he says, something we don't hear too often, and this is what we're going to talk a bit about tonight, this is something that those of us, if you call yourself a Christian, are hopefully familiar with. He says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So we've all heard that. Jesus will forgive your sins and allow you to be reconciled with God. But then he says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, what could he mean by this? All right. I'm going to get you to hold on to that thought because he elaborates a little down later and tells you what he is. So Peter is going to tell us, he has a brief interlude, so we'll talk through the interlude and then we'll come back to talk about what this refreshing actually is. You know, I'm hopefully keeping you all, you know, on the edge of your seats waiting to find out what that is. So repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all these things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So here Peter calls him to repent. He mentions that idea of refreshment, which we'll come back to. And then he goes on to say that Christ is in heaven. So he says, whom heaven must receive until further time. So he's up there in heaven. It's just the language. So he says, he's in heaven until the restoration of all things. Now, this idea of restoration that they've been reading about in the prophets since the beginning, okay, he says, you know, God gave them plenty of warning, telling them to heed the prophets. He said, hey, they've foretold these days. These are things that all these Jewish people would have known since birth. They would have read this stuff. They would have known that, you know, at some point a Messiah is coming. Then at some point there is a final fulfillment, which is the end, which is when God will come to remove everything that every sickness, every infirmity, every thing on this world that is impure and not holy, he will remove. You know, when all the sin will be removed and the planet will be restored and we will be restored. You know, when our mental state will be restored, no fogginess, no forgetfulness. Now, to be around for that, right, to be one of the ones that allowed to be in heaven for eternity with Christ, Peter calls for repentance. He tells them to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And then he says at the end, you see that last verse, says, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Now this is the key. Right? This is the refreshment. Okay, this is not the refreshment you might be thinking of. You might think of refreshment as God giving you relief from your joint ache. You might think the refreshment of God is, you know, retrenching that annoying co-worker that makes it really difficult to work with at work. You might think is refreshment of God freeing you up from your mortgage debt that you're struggling to pay off. But he knows that these things don't bring lasting refreshment. He says the only thing that will bring lasting refreshment is having your sins removed, is having the guilt of the things that you've done lifted from your shoulders. Don't you feel the weight, you know, of the things, of the people that you have wronged in the past? Don't you feel the heaviness of relationships that have gone bad? Don't you feel the burden of family members that won't speak to you, or friends that you've hurt by accident? You know, this is a dead weight that just sits with you, and no matter what happens, no matter how many good things happen in life, this weight just sits on your shoulders and you just can't seem to shake it. You know, you can get depressed, you can feel just, can't escape this weight. And you feel, I can't get rid of this. You know, it's an overwhelming pressing in, maybe, of what would God think of me? If he is real, what does he think of how I live my life? Do I impress him? Does he love me? Is he proud of me? You know, do you feel that weight? Jesus offers to remove this. He knows that this is what we truly need. He knows our heart. He knows our state. He knows where we are. He says, what we really need in this life is forgiveness. We need to know that our sins have been removed. We need that guilt removed, and Jesus offers that. The physical pain we feel, the world around us, won't be fully restored until Jesus returns, as the prophets foretold. But in the meantime, Jesus can remove, you know, that pain of guilt. Okay? You know, that he can bring that time of refreshment, of lifting that weight from your shoulders. Now, all he calls you to do here is repent. Alright? He calls you to turn away from your sin and follow Jesus. Now, this is a very generous gift. You know, you might have heard that phrase, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Now, this is what they're talking about. Christians aren't any better or worse than the next person. Sometimes they think they are, and it can be painful, we know. You know, we do our best not to give that impression, but you know, this is all Christians have, is they have the weight of this guilt removed. Alright? Christians who have truly understood this seem happier, as they've filled with the joy of knowing that the bad things they've done in the past have been forgiven. It is incredibly releasing. Not having that weight on your shoulders is actually, it's nothing to scoff at. You know, you receive a peace, a freedom from that oppression of the things around you. And I'm not saying life is easy. I'm not saying that you become a Christian and life is easy, but it becomes so much easier without that oppressive weight of the pain of your sin behind you. And again, to clarify, you know, you still feel some burdens of things that you need to do better, and you're still conscious of your sin, but you now don't have these decades of sin just weighing down on you. You know that when you stand before Christ, when you stand before him, and you stand before God, rather, and he says, how will you pay for this? When Christ stands in the way and says, hey, I've paid for this one, that's the peace that we feel. You know, and then we try to follow Jesus and be a better person, and we don't get it right, but we have received this amazing gift, you know, a refreshment from the Lord, you know, the blessing of having our sins removed. So tonight, if you feel this guilt on your shoulders, if you feel the weight that seems to just crush you of all the things that you've done, if you honestly look inside yourself, you know, likely, particularly if you're a bit older, you might have distanced yourself from these things, you know, these feelings, told yourself that they're not there. If that is you tonight, I want to tell you that refreshment is available, okay? All you need to do is repent from your ways, you know, admit that you're wrong to God and turn away from these things. And he will blot out your sins and remove that weight from your shoulders. You can have refreshment today. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, but you still feel this weight of sin, I want to encourage you to think on what Jesus has done for you. Remember that Jesus has paid for your sins. There is no reason for you to feel guilt anymore. You are free, all right, and you do not need to have that weight on your shoulders. I want you to think on what he has done for you and enjoy that freedom. So we're going to end with a verse that talks about this promise. And then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Right? This is what Jesus is talking about. The truth here can make you free. It can remove that burden of guilt. It is yours tonight for the taking. And if you have not already, I really encourage you to talk to someone tonight. Ask them what it feels like to be free of that weight and commit your life to Jesus. Amen.